From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of his studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the Ten Commandments, treating each one in separate messages. Today, he concludes his exposition of the seventh commandment, Thou shalt not commit adultery. At the heart of this commandment is God's design to protect the uniqueness and sanctity of the marriage relationship. Part of that design includes the prohibition of easy divorce, something that is rampant in our society. The proper directing of man's God-given desires requires supernatural help, for the flesh is all too prone to sinful perversion. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please listen to this devotional selection taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Joyful Security. The text is Isaiah 41 and verse 10. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear of falling is wholesome. To be venturesome is no sign of wisdom. Times come to us when we feel that we must go down unless we have a very special support. Here we have it. God's right hand is a grand thing to lean upon. Mind, it is not only His hand, though it keepeth heaven and earth in their places, but His right hand, His power united with skill, His power where it is most dexterous. Nay, this is not all. It is written, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, that hand which He uses to maintain His holiness and to execute His royal sentences. This shall be stretched out to hold up His trusting ones. Fearful is our danger, but joyful is our security. The man whom God upholds, devils cannot throw down. Weak may be our feet, but almighty is God's right hand. Rough may be the road, but omnipotence is our upholding. We may boldly go forward. We shall not fall. Let us lean continually where all things lean. God will not withdraw His strength, for His righteousness is there as well. He will be faithful to His promise and faithful to His Son, and therefore faithful to us. How happy ought we to be? Are we not so?
Thank you.
is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
The reasons advanced for freeing married people to marry someone else, the Word of God allows only one short of death. And that is not adultery as most people say, but the Greek word is porneia, gross immorality, gross impurity. It may be adultery, fornication, sodomy, bestiality, transsexualism, or some other gross, intolerable perversion or activity. Romans 7, verses 2 and 3 teach you that normally it is only death that allows a marriage to be dissolved. And after death of one partner, the other is free to marry. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, whosoever shall divorce his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." Jesus says if you put away your wife except she has been guilty of fornication or gross impurity, then if she marries, you make her an adulteress, and you make the man who marries her an adulterer. Furthermore, in the passage we read in Matthew 19, verse 9, he says, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." So he says, if you divorce your wife, except it's for gross impurity, and you marry someone else, the law of the land may allow it, but you are guilty of adultery. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul teaches that Christians should not divorce. They should not do it. There's always that exceptive clause. The Lord doesn't say you must divorce in the case of gross impurity. There are many things in Scripture that would encourage us to seek a reconciliation, to seek to disciple and to bring back the erring one. But where that is not possible, God does allow for the dissolution of the marriage as if there had been death. That is how serious a thing gross immorality is. It is death to a marriage. But outside of that, Paul teaches Christians should not divorce. If you have a situation where the wife or the husband simply cannot live with their partner, there are various situations. Sometimes extreme violence. Sometimes extreme drunkenness. Sometimes some form of what the world calls insanity. Not quite sure in most cases that's a just description of it or not. But where living under the same roof becomes impossible, he says, if they depart, yet they must not marry, nor must they ever enter into a relationship where they cohabit with anyone else outside of the bonds of biblical marriage. He even goes to such an extent as saying, a Christian, a person who comes to Christ and their husband or wife is left unsaved, the Christian may not divorce an unsaved spouse just because he rejects the gospel. This is a very, very, very important subject. There are churches all around America where people come in and they say, "I've got saved, but my husband's not saved, or my wife's not saved. I don't have the fellowship at home. I don't have the comfort at home. We don't have the unity of thought and purpose at home." And therefore they start to have an affair with another professing Christian in the church. Paul abominates that. You have no right to divorce a person simply because you've become a Christian and they are still a rejecter of Christ. He says, if the unsaved partner refuses to live with the Christian unless that Christian repudiates Christ, then the Christian is not bound to him, but is free to acquiesce in the divorce imposed upon him or her. But I believe the word of Christ still stands. Personally, I believe that they are not free to remarry unless their partner has either remarried or gone into great immorality and cohabitation or what with another. Our confession of faith says nothing but adultery or such willful desertion as can no way be remedied by the church or civil magistrate is the sufficient cause for dissolving a marriage. Many people take that as saying that desertion, just the act of somebody walking out, frees the partner. to remarry. Confession doesn't actually say so. And I believe that the Word of Christ must be that which is central to the whole debate on divorce and remarriage. He says the only reason, the only ground, the only time when a partner can ever divorce and remarry is because of porneia, because of gross, intolerable immorality. Anything else would be adultery. Now that is the condemnation of the seventh commandment. My time is gone, but I have to finish by referring to the power to obey the seventh commandment. Man has never found it easy to obey any part of God's law, and especially this particular part. It wasn't easy in Old Testament times. Judah fell into sin. Abraham and Sarah fell into sin. David fell into sin. It wasn't easy in New Testament times, as I've indicated. There were terrible moral lapses in the Corinthian church. Remember, this was a church in revival with miracles happening all around them. You read church history. This was a plague. Immorality is not a modern thing. It has always been there as a great challenge to the Church of Christ. And it's certainly not easy for people to obey it today. To keep yourself pure in this society requires supernatural power. There are fundamental natural urges in human beings that God has created, and they are very, very strong. Heterosexual desires are not wrong. They're gifts from God, unless they are nurtured and indulged outside of marriage. And if they are so indulged, they cause great guilt, deep hurt, and they leave lasting scars. But thank God there's pardon. After going down a list of moral crimes, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified." The call of the gospel in Isaiah 1 still rings powerfully today. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins have been as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So there's pardon. We can go to an unchaste, impure world, and we can preach the cleansing virtue and value of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there pardon, but there is victory. Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." It's the simple key to a holy life. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not and cannot fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 12, "Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Read carefully Colossians chapter 3, the first 10 verses particularly. If you're risen with Christ, he says, set your affections on things which are above. Don't set them on things of earth. Mortify your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, impurity, inordinate affections, lusts that are boiling over. He says, put them to death. How? Set your mind on Christ. Says you used to walk in those things, but you put them off. Keep on putting off the old man. Keep on putting on the new man. That's where you get the power of purity. Romans 8 verse 11 says, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Victory doesn't come floating in a neat package from heaven. Victory comes in the battle where you face the real wickedness and corruption and weakness of your own heart, and the temptations of the world and the flesh and the devil. And by setting your affections on Christ, you put to death the motions of the flesh. Paul puts it this way in Romans 13, 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. See how up to date he is? You see how simple, yet how profound? When a man tells me he wants to stop smoking, but he keeps 20 cigarettes in his pocket, I know he's only joking. He's fooling himself, and I'm not going to be fooled. When a man tells me he wants to get victory in his mind over impurity and filthiness, but he's sitting watching filthy television programs, I know he's only fooling himself, and I refuse to be fooled. When a man is going out and getting all sorts of stupid and filthy magazines and saying, oh, I want to be faithful to my wife, he's a liar. The Bible says, do not make provision for the flesh. When you stick your hand in the fire, don't come crying when the blisters come. Don't stick your hand in the fire in the first place. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The seventh commandment is a powerful indictment of the purest person among us. It exposes the wickedness of heart as well as the wickedness of our lives. It crucifies easy self-righteousness and leaves us no place of refuge in ourselves. In doing so, it drives us to the gospel. And the gospel leads us to Christ. And Christ enables us to delight in the law of God in the inward man and live in obedience to it. Now, our obedience is not perfect, but our Savior is. He is able to keep us from falling as we walk with Him. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us continually from all sin. That is the best way to fulfill the command, keep thyself pure.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.